Yaakov Avinu's response to the mutilation of Shechem is a little bit odd. You would think that he represents morality. He's returning from 20-plus years of being swindled. And you'd expect that, at the very least in his own clan, the family members should behave with respect and civility to the neighbors. And he doesn't respond. And even when he does respond, the response is very interesting. It isn't a moral response. How could you behave this way? How could you murder people? How could you deceive people? He's worried about how this will wash and how this will play to the locals. Let's see if I can find it. He says, "Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'el Levi, achartem osi lehavisheni biyoshev aretz. You're going to ruin our tranquility and our cordial, harmonious relationships with the locals." So where's Yaakov's response? Why doesn't he critique them? Why doesn't he chastise them? So I want to share with you something Rav Amital discussed in a sicha a while back and elaborate upon it and try to think about this trait. Rav Amital felt that Yaakov was thwarted, was unwilling and maybe even unable to rebuke them about this issue, because it reflected his own past. Because the same deceit and the same manipulation that they had displayed to the people of Shechem was very, very similar, in fact, almost identical, to his own behavior in Parshas Toldos. In fact, if you look in the Pasuk, Pasperek Lamed Dalid, where is it? Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayanu b'nei Yaakov eshchem v'yeschamor aviv b'mirma. They spoke to Shechem, and the residents of Shechem and Chamor, with subterfuge, with deceit. Anyone know the first time in Sefer Bereishis where the word mirma appears? Ba'achicha b'mirma. The exact phrase that Yitzchak describes Yaakov's behavior to Esav in Parshas Toldos is the phrase describing the behavior or the conversation of the brothers to the people of Shechem. Which means that Yaakov couldn't and didn't. And this shows a lot of sensitivity for two reasons. That's what I want to speak about today. We're elaborating on what Rav Amital said. First of all, because it's just insensitive. Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, Mum Shebachal Tomer L'Chavercha. It's why we have to treat Gerim with such sensitivity and such compassion. And unfortunately today, where not every Ger is as sincerely intending as maybe in the past, it creates a bit of a paradox, a bit of a dilemma. On the one hand, we want to be welcoming to Gerim. On the other hand, in many cases, for good reasons, Gerim today aren't always driven by these types of motives. We have to maintain the integrity of Gerus. And whether it's people that are converting out of love or people that are converting because Baruch Hashem, the Jewish state is once again a source of international pride and people want to be part of the Jewish state, and there's so many Russians who may not be Jewish who want to convert, but their conversion may not be reflective of the halachic comprehensiveness which is necessary. So it's very easy just to take a simplistic view and a one-sided view and say, let's be as embracing as we can to Gerim. Obviously, we'll compromise the integrity of what Gerim is meant to be, and Knesset Tachas Kanfei Shechina. Okay, but that's the specific issue of Gerim. In general, it's insensitive, it's even uncouth to point out flaws in other people that you possess yourself. And Yaakov is a bit hesitant. Yaakov is sensitive to the fact that this may not be the best time and I may not be the best person. There's a time and a place for everything, and a lot of issues in life are based on timing and when you say things. And Mitzvah Hashem in Parshas Vayechi, when he dies, we'll read about that he is capable at that point of critiquing and rebuking his brothers, his children, for their anger. So part of the message of Yaakov's hesitance is just knowing when to say something, when not to say something. Communication, interaction with other human beings. But part of it is not just communication and interaction, but part of it is personal development and personal authenticity and honesty. When the Gemara says, Mum shebachal tomer l'chavercha, it's not just interactive. What's the right time? And I shouldn't be the one rebuking. I'm just looking at Danny, because I possess the same flaw. But very often, if I sense a flaw in Danny, it's because I'm projecting my own flaws. One of the most basic defense mechanisms in psychology is called projection. Projection is a psychological mechanism whereby It's easier to deal with your flaws and frustrations and weaknesses by projecting them onto others and projecting them onto people close to you and your surroundings, friends, family members, people you know very well. Because subconsciously it's hard for you to deal with the fact that you possess this limitation, this flaw, this deficiency. So if you can just project it onto someone else, and then it's external, and it's not your fault, but other people possess it, and she hates me, and he hates me. And very, very often when we're judgmental, and when we're harshly judgmental, it's because we're processing our own limitations and our own frustrations, and unfortunately we take it out on those around us. So it's a good parasha to think about projection. Obviously Yaakov is a hero in that sense, because rather than pouring his puritanical zeal against his children, he realizes he's still processing his own. And the Ramital spoke a lot in Parshas Vayishlach about how Yaakov processes his own behavior from Parshas Toldos. Because remember, the two Parshios away, but now Yaakov is returning to the scene of the crime. And Yaakov is embracing or encountering his brother again. And Yaakov is facing his mother's death, which occurs in Parshas Vayishlach. And certainly his mother played a very, very central role in that whole episode. So it's a time for him to reach some sort of closure. So Yaakov is processing as a human being. He's processing his role. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him at Beit El, he comes back and he's afraid that Esav has lived in Eretz Yisrael for 20 plus years and he's performed Kibbutz Avraham. So he has legitimate reason to fear that maybe Hashem protected him from Lavan, but who says that Hashem vindicated and corroborated or ratified his decision to take the Bechorah? So when he finally gets the name change from Yaakov to Yisrael, I think he feels that sense of acceptance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that occurs only in the end of the parsha. But I think there's a sensitivity on Yaakov's behalf. Number one, not to pour out his anger against his children. I think the children will look at him and say, you're the last person to speak. Why are you telling us about the seed and subterfuge? I mean, you're the primary, not criminal, but you behave similarly. But I think also because he realizes that a lot of his judgment may be clouded. And I think it takes a lot of honesty and genuineness and humility when ask yourself the next time you see a negative trait in someone you feel close to, is that really yourself projecting your own limitations and your own flaws and finding some defense mechanism or coping mechanism to deal with it by magnifying it sometimes or amplifying it in other people. And that generally leads to, if you're able to sense that, so first of all, you'll be more humble in your judgment of other people, recognizing that you possess the same flaw. And also, you'll be able to turn inward and say, well, I probably have that limitation. How can I improve it? How can I transcend it? Rather than just locking into someone else's misbehavior or underperformance. Okay, so it's a nice little sense of Yaakov. Rav Amital spoke about it. That's why Yaakov didn't rebuke them. He didn't talk about the psychological component, but I'm elaborating it into the psychology. Okay. Let's quickly finish the halachos of